Baja Goranga, Koho Goranga, Loho Goranga, Namore. Let's learn this tune right now. Baja Goranga.
What I have to repeat?
Yes.
Baja Goranga.
Baja Goranga.
Baja Goranga.
Koho Goranga.
Koho Goranga.
Loho Goranga.
Loho Goranga.
Namare.
Namare.
Good.
Good.
Baja Goranga.
Baja Goranga.
Koho Goranga.
Koho Goranga.
Loho Goranga. Namare.
Namare.
Baja Goranga.
Baja Goranga.
Baja Goranga.
Baja Goranga.
Baja Goranga.
Baja Goranga.
Namare.
Namare.
Baja Goranga. Loho Goranga. Take the name of Goranga. Worship Goranga. Take the name of Goranga and speak. Koho. Koho means kaha. Loho means take. Take Goranga, the name of Goranga. Speak the name of Goranga, Koho, and worship Goranga. Now we're going to read about Goranga Gun. As a child, Nimai was strong and restless, so restless that women could hardly hold him in their loving arms. One peculiarity of the boy was that if anyone simply uttered the name of Hari, something peculiar about Nimai was that he would cry and cry, and he would only stop if someone would say,
Hari.
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 Hari!
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 Radhe, 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 Jai 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 Shri Radhe. Radhe, 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 Jai 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 Shri Radhe. Radhe, 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 Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Shri Radhe, 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 Ranga Mahaprabhu's Avir Bhaktiti Ki.
It's not a poet's creation.
Nimai's complexion actually did resemble molten gold. His feet and hands were so naturally red that there was no need to paint any dye on his hands or feet, which they do with children in Veda culture. Nimai's features were so beautifully formed, the contour of his body was simply perfect. Nimai's fascinating face was brighter than the moon. He was glowing. I remember, we don't see so much, but when someone's really healthy or really young people, really young and healthy men and women, they have their face is glowing with health. If all their chakras are balanced and they're very sattvic people, you know, yogis, vegetarians, good, healthy type people, even non-veg, whatever, healthy, sometimes they have very glowing. What to speak of these yogis? Because when I was looking for guru back in the 70s in California, I met many yogis. Came from India, so, I mean, at least commercialized type yogis. But many of them are very effulgent. Their personas, they were radiant. In fact, I interviewed people for Prabhupada's Leelamrita and in England and Bombay and America. Vrindavan, Bombay, and there. So I interviewed many karmis that had interacted with Prabhupada, what we call quote-unquote karmis, non-initiated people in England. I remember interview. That word should not come out of my mouth. I remember interviewing a policeman from Watford. There's a village where the Bhaktivedanta Manor is located in London, or outside of London, called Watford. Watford. And he was a policeman there. And he was a policeman during Prabhupada's visits to there. And he would control the traffic, because there's a lot of traffic jams when Prabhupada came to the temple. So many Indians wanted to come for his darshan, the little tiny village. They came from all over England to have Prabhupada's darshan. Very popular place, even today, of course. So he was there, and he many times he saw Prabhupada, and he used to clear the way for him if there were people, crowds in the way, and Prabhupada was coming out of the temple. So he saw Prabhupada many times and received Prabhupada's darshan and blessings. So one thing he said to me, I don't know much about, you know, I never saw anybody from India. I've seen so many people from India. There's so many Indians living in England. But I never saw anyone glowing. Your guru, your Swamiji, he was glowing. It was just like a whole radiance around him, like a brilliant, what we call aura nowadays. In India they say jyoti, and a radiance, light all around him. It was unmistakable. I could see it. Now this was an ordinary policeman, a regular Englishman, probably, you know, meat eating, beer drinking Englishman or whatever, and he could perceive how brilliant and bright Prabhupada's skin and aura was, of his purity and his personality. So what to speak of, just try to imagine if that brightness of Prabhupada made such an impression on this conditioned soul, this policeman, who is not a surrendered servant with sees everything perfect in the guru or whatever, but he's just objectively observing Prabhupada as a human being and saying he was shining like the sun. I heard people say this. And I saw Prabhupada personally myself many times, and I agree. He was really brilliant. He was brilliant and big. His aura was very big and gave him this brilliant look, and also it gave him this very otherworldly, he had this size. He was so, you couldn't measure Prabhupada. He seemed so immeasurable. But when you stand next to, I went on a couple morning walks with Prabhupada and many other devotees, but when you stand next to Prabhupada, in terms of tall, maybe it's written somewhere, he was about 5'3", an American standard, 5'3", I don't know what that is in centimeters, but like pretty small. Like I'm 5'8", and I'm pretty short. So he was 5 inches shorter than me. Very short. I couldn't believe when I saw Prabhupada. We didn't have any murtis of Prabhupada when I joined. We had Prabhupada. There's no such thing as a Prabhupada murti when I joined. It's hard for me to imagine now when I go in temples and I see all these murtis, because I used to go in temples and just see an empty Vyasasthan with a photograph on it, and then I would see Prabhupada sitting on the same Vyasasthan, you know, the Sakshat Prabhupada. Although he was so short, he seemed so tall. He just seemed, when you're with Prabhupada, it seemed like you were, you know, looking up to where he was, because he was looking down from the spiritual world at all of us. So this is, because when we read these descriptions, we should try to visualize and try to imagine. You can only visualize based on your own experience of what you've seen. Have you seen gold? Like Prabhupada says, you read a magazine, In-Flight Magazine, you see some picture on an airplane, it shows you the Fort Knox, special article about gold, and shows these big gold bricks. And you fall asleep in the airplane after you eat your Maha Prasadam. You know, that's what usually you do. And then you fall asleep and then you dream of a mountain of gold, because you have some experience of what you saw and then you dream. So we have experience of gold. We see how golden Prabhupada was and how radiant some yogi is. We maybe met some yogis. But imagine God, Lord Chaitanya. It's like molten gold, and that's only a fraction of the goldness. It's almost like blinding. It's still Brilliant. His palms and foot soles were naturally red, that they appeared like freshly painted with vermilion. Nimai's features were beautifully formed, and the contour of his body was simply perfect. It's beautiful. I really appreciate the way this person is writing. This is the book is not so much widely known. It's called Lord Gauranga. It's one of the very first English books written in English, biography of Lord Chaitanya. That's why it's well circulated in the Western world. It was written in English by a member of the Communist Party. This S.K. Ghosh, I think, who's the founder of Amrit Patrika Bazar. It's a newspaper, S.K. Ghosh. And he was a communist, but he was a member of the Communist Party, but at the same time, he had a lot of appreciation for Lord Chaitanya. He was promoting communism. That's why Bengal is communist even today. He was newspapers promoting communism. And he's the one who said, this is what he said. The full quotation is this, because it was written in his newspaper, S.K. Ghosh. He said, although I've never really studied or read the books of the six Goswamis, but as far as I'm concerned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the seventh Goswami. So that title, which became so popular in some missions and around the world, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the seventh Goswami, that was given to him by a communist, a member of a political person who was not even initiated by anyone that I know of. I never heard. But he was a friend of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's and a contemporary, S.K. Ghosh. And he was he preached communism with the newspaper, which is atheism. Communism means atheism. And he said, because he appreciated the liberal viewpoint of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he appreciated his liberalization of Gaudiya philosophy, and so somehow he was praising Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he just offhandedly said one time, although I have not read, to be perfectly honest, I never read any of the Goswami's teachings because I'm an atheist. or at least he wrote about Gauranga because he's a good writer. So I appreciate this part that he wrote. So I took the good thing from his book, and that was one of the first books I read about Lord Gauranga in English. So, and I read that before I was, initiated in ISKCON. So this book was quite available. I was coming to ISKCON. I knew about ISKCON. I knew about Lord Chaitanya for a year or so. And so this book came in my hands. Because I was into writing, someone said, this is a really good piece of writing. It's a very nice piece of writing, although some parts are a little exaggerated. So it's not accepted as bona fide Shastra, written by a communist. S.K. Ghosh. But it's because of him that we glorify, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the seventh Goswami because of S.K. Ghosh.
What is the name of the book again?
Lord Gauranga.
Just Lord Gauranga.
Must be on free download. You can probably get it. Some things are a little bit, because he's a communist, so he gives his own communist twist to Lord Chaitanya's life, which I didn't know. Before I was initiated, I read the book. But this is a very nice entry. It's true what he's writing, and he's good with words. That's why he started a newspaper, because he likes to spread a lot of words around. But I found it very funny, because I never knew, only found out a few years ago, that the source of this quote, that the Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the seventh Goswami, he was given that title by a communist, by an atheist, Bengali brother S.K. Ghosh, who was a big personality. He was a big politician and founder of a newspaper. And his son or his great-grandson was Tarun Kanti Ghosh. Tarun Kanti Ghosh met Srila Prabhupada. And there's a picture of him in Mayapur. I saw it was on the wall one time on the bulletin board or somewhere. He's taking darshan of Prabhupada in Mayapur, in ISKCON Mayapur. And Prabhupada's rubbing his head and giving him blessings, because he was a very, there's a very big political family, the Ghosh family, S.K. Ghosh and Tarun. He's T.K. Ghosh. S.K. Ghosh and T.K. Ghosh. Tarun Kanti It's in the Lilamrita. You can see the name. You search Tarun Kanti Ghosh. Maybe it just says Tarun Kanti. I don't know if I have his last name. So he did some political favors for ISKCON Mayapur to help them get established. So Prabhupada appreciated him. So his father, a great grandfather, Zeske Ghosh. So he inherited the communist newspaper Amrit Patrika Bazar. Because they published, first of all, Tarun Kanti Ghosh published a very favorable article about ISKCON. Because, you know, that's Indian style communism. Communist newspaper, you promote religion. That's Indian style. Communist newspaper, Amrit Patrika Bazar, then they write a favorable article in 1971 about Prabhupada's ISKCON. That just shows you the interesting multi variegatedness of India.
Incredible
India. Anyway, Lord Gauranga is very beautiful. I'll just finish the reading. Now you meditate on the beauty of Lord Nimai Pandit when you chant your japa and when you break your fast. His face is brighter than the moon and more beautiful than a blossoming golden lotus flower. His lips were ruddy like ripe bimba fruit. His eyes were elongated like the petals of a lotus. I've never seen such eyes as this in my life until I came to India. I've never seen in Western people, you know, that kind of look like a cat's eye, you know, that kind of long. Because I see everybody in America and Europe, I've been to Europe and America, everyone has basically, the eye socket is round and it's, you know, a little elliptical. I mean, the eye, you know, it's a little, but not elongated. And then I came to India and I've seen Indian men and Indian women that actually have long, they have long eyes. Then they put on this kajal, the ladies put on kajal, it makes it even more accented. But their actual shape of their eye socket is more elliptical. It digs more into the, goes back, I don't know how to describe it, anatomically, since I have, you know, studied medicine in college. Anatomically, the eye socket is, whatever. So you can imagine. And his eyes, they're slightly tinged red, appearing as if moist with honey. It actually is a very nice meditation for chanting, meditating the Rupa of Lord Chaitanya. This whole book, appreciating Navadvipa Thomas, these are actually classic gems. Because I'm reading them now, like 20 years later, I'm saying, and as I've heard other people say the same thing, other authors have said the same thing, did I write this? You know, in other words, I didn't write this, I just collected these quotations here and there and put them together. But appreciating Vrindavan and appreciating Navadvipa, they're classic. They're classic books. This gentleman, this gentle devotee, Atul Krishnadas, he translated Apreciate Vrindavan in Croatian language. I think I showed you. You saw? Yeah, that's Asha Banda. More Asha. Banda means bound. Banda, Asha Banda. There's 9 qualities of Bhava, and one is Ashbanda. Ashabanda. Banda means bound, locked up, bound, tied by hope. I am tied by hope. I hope against hope that by doing Panchanga Bhakti and living in Vrindavan and having the blessings of Sadguru and a Shud Guru Parivar, I will have darshan of Radha and Krishna in this life and attain Radha Krishna Prem. That is my hope, Asha. Oh, the moon is rising. So let me finish because I think your appetite's rising.
No. I just said it.
Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Mayapur Chandradaya ki jai. Udai means to rise. Doesn't mean to appear. Arise. The moon rises. So the moon is rising in the east. Mayapur Chandra Udai. So on this very day, 500 and whatever it is, 22 years ago, whatever this is, like the new year starts today, 523 years ago, or whatever the date is, 1480, what is it? What year was it? 1586, right? 1486. I'm getting a little rusty. 1486, Lord Chaitanya appeared. And 500 years later was 1996, was the 500th anniversary. Right? You forgot? No one remember? You maybe didn't join, but ISKCON celebrated the 500th anniversary in 1986. You weren't there. No. You didn't exist. You were not born yet. Not spiritually born yet.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm a little born a little back there. So that was a big thing. That was my 12th year in ISKCON when that happened. 531 years ago today, right now at this time, exactly at 6:09 or
so,
what time is it?
50.
At 6:40.
But 6:20 was the moon rise.
At 6:20, we're seeing the moon now rising, and it's very beautiful. So it says right here that Lord Chaitanya's face is brighter than the moon. So when you look at the moon, you should think, oh, moon man. Who's the man in the moon? Gauranga. Gaurachand. Nitai Chand. Awaita Chand. And Chandramukhi Radha. And Chandra Sarovara. All these things. And Ras. Moon represents Ras. And Rasaraj Gauranga. All these things are in the moon. I love the way he describes the eyes. Gauranga's eyes were elongated like the petals of a lotus, slightly tinged with red, appearing as if moist with honey. His eyes were perhaps more lovely than any other part of his body. Very nice meditation for japa. Try to see Lord Chaitanya's eyes. They're more lovely, more beautiful than any other part of. Anyone who looked at the child Nimai felt immediate attraction towards him. Gauranga's eyes defeated the redness of the horizon at sunset. His beautiful complexion shamed the newly minted gold lying in treasuries all over the world. The moon of his eyebrow, the moon of his cheeks, the moons of his fingertips and toes banished the dull ignorance of the world and created a glowing shelter for his devotees. So the moon of his brow, his eyebrows are like a crescent moon. You know, small moon, Arda. Gauranga's large dark eyes were as beautiful as the petals of fully blossomed lotus flowers. His eyes were moving with charming affection for his devotees. Very nice phrase. This is from some books, there's a whole bunch of reference books. Sri Gaur Lila. Well, that's from somebody's narration. His two attractive lotus feet and toenails were glowing like millions of moons. A bright white sacred thread hangs from his lion-like shoulder. He's more enchanting than millions of cupids. His face is always brightened by a smile. His teeth look like a row of pearls. His lips are red. His body is so soft. He has long, curly hair, and his neck is like a lion's. His shoulders are broad and powerful and handsome. Chest. He's very tall, 7 feet tall. Can you imagine? Lord Chaitanya is 7 feet tall in Bengal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if he's a 7 foot tall Punjabi, it's not a big deal because some Punjabis are 6'4", 6'8". See, they're big guys.
In Bengal.
But Bengal? Nobody's tall. The tallest, the man is tall. You're tall if you're a man and you're 5'5". 5'5". 5'6", the men. The women are 4'8", 4'9", 4'9". The women are like 1 meter tall. 1 meter tall. One and a half meters. You understand? Russia has meters? The women are 1.5 meters tall. At most. That's a lot. And Lord Chaitanya is 2 meters plus. People in the West, they live in apartments, and the ceiling of the apartment is only 9 feet, maybe 8 in some places. And he come in.
Yes.
Huge. Lord Chaitanya. You ever see impression of Lord Chaitanya's feet? Sometimes they have these red pieces. Oh, you want to see Lord Chaitanya's feet? You go to Radha Damodar Temple. There's two Radha Damodar temples, not the old one, but the new one. The new one is in where Jiva Goswami's Bhajan Kutir is, near Lalita Kund. You do Prikma, and Lalita Kund, you go right inside a little place. There's Jiva Goswami's place of Bhajan in Shamakund. And then behind there is the new Radha Damodar Temple. And in there, in a frame, was given by Bhakta Charles, he donated those, is a cloth, red cloth imprint of the footprints of Lord Chaitanya. It's called the Garuda Stamba. In Jagannath Puri, this is again appearance of Lord Chaitanya, right? In the Garuda Stamba in Jagannath Puri, in the Jagannath Temple, there's a stamba opposite Lord Jagannath inside the temple. And Garuda's sitting there on top of a column. And Lord Chaitanya used to stay back there behind that column. Because from that, when you stand by that column, there's many columns. It's way far away from Jagannath. And behind all those columns, when you stand there, you can only see Jagannath. You can't see Subhadra and you can't see Balaram from there. They're blocked by other columns. Columns, you know, column? Column is like a pillar. Pillar holding up the temple, you know. Like this is a pillar. So he's standing there. So he could just see Jagannath. So that's because he saw Jagannath as Krishna, Brajendra Nandan, and he was in Radhabhav. So when Radharani's with Krishna, she doesn't want Balaram to be there. She doesn't want Subhadra to be there either, Balaram's sister. So he stood there. And then he was in such ecstasy that the stone would melt. He would start to go unconscious, and Lord Chaitanya would hold himself up like this, behind the stamba. And in the wall, you can see Lord Chaitanya's fingerprints melted in the stone. And the bottom where he stood, the stone melted and caught his feet. They cut that stone out and they put it in a mandir. It's called a Mahaprabhu China Mandir. Mahaprabhu Padachina Mandir. And in that mandir, that's in the Prikma Marg of Jagannath Puri Temple, you go in that mandir you can see the impression of Lord Chaitanya's feet. So if you're clever and smart, like this this gentle devotee, Bhakta Charles, then you will pay the pujari, give him some money, and say, "I want you to put this, mix this kunkum with water, and mix it in the footprints, and then press this cloth. I'll give you some raw cotton cloth." You press his cloth on his footprints, you get the impression of his feet. So he's done that with chandan, with sandalwood, and also with red dye. And he made impressions he paid the bhajari to make impressions of Lord Chaitanya's feet dyed into cloth. So then he would take the cloth and put it in a frame and give it to different people. So he gave me a copy of those, and I gave them to some temple in Vrindavan. Someone begged for those, so I gave them to them. Because I don't like to keep things too long. It's a nice thing, but I like more internal things than external things. So I like to keep those feet in my mind and heart. That's very nice, Udipan, for remembering Lord Chaitanya. So that one of those impressions of Lord Chaitanya's feet is in the Radha Damodar Temple. So then you will see Lord Chaitanya's feet were big. Size 14 or something, or whatever. Really big, 16, I don't know, huge. Really big. He's 7 feet tall. It must be a sign of auspiciousness. I mean, obviously they were perfectly shaped and contoured, but you can see they're not the normal human-sized feet. They're godly feet. It's a godly feet. So that's a very clever thing he did to collect these mementos of Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, how would you get those impressions? And if they don't have any brain, I guess there's not much market in it. But they could, of course, the bhajaris themselves could do those impressions and sell them to the tourists and yatris. But I think you can only get those foot impressions from Bhakta Charles. It's a really nice thing. I mean, Lord Chaitanya is very beautiful. And we can remember his beauty. When we chant Krishna's name, we should remember the name of Krishna, his form and his qualities and his pastimes. Do you have this book? Do you have? Your finger. It's pretty high up there. It's on the high end of the scale. It's all about service to Radha and Krishna in the mood of a Manjari. And Vishnath is thinking, I'm doing all these different services, and this is a manual for bhajan, for those that have the taste and adhikar for that.
My friend just called me from my airport. She's in Kalpakantramayas.
Well, I guess that's confirmed twice then. So you give it to someone else.
Okay.
It's very nice. So when you do bhajan, you think that I'm doing these services directly to Radharani. That is the way. That is why these books are written. Like, do as I'm doing. It's like you go in the kitchen and someone says, see, take the dough and go like this. It's called showing you how to cook. So someone will show you how to cook. So that's called cookbook, or it's called cooking teacher. So these books of bhajan are manuals given to us by the Siddha Mahatmas and Nitya Siddha associates of Radha and Krishna, how to do bhajan. So how to do Vaidhi Sadhana, then we have Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Upadeshamrita, and we have, these are books of how to do Vaidhi Sadhana, Upadeshamrita and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu from our six Goswamis. Then we have Mana Shiksha by Raghunath Das Goswami. And then Shikshastakam by Lord Chaitanya. So these are all books for how to do Vaidhi Bhakti. Yes. And Madhurya Kadambini is also Vaidhi Bhakti. And then when we go into Rag Bhakti, when Rag is awoken, an intense greed to follow the Nitya Siddha Parikars of Radha and Krishna, and Gopi Bhav, which is what Lord Chaitanya came to give. Then there's other books that are manuals for the Raghunuga Bhakta. And that will be principally and primarily the books of the Naratam Prarthana, selected songs and verses of Prarthana regarding service of Radha and Krishna, Radharani, and Prarthana and Stavavali by Raghunath Das Goswami, and Ujjvala Neelamani by Rupa Goswami is very helpful. Radha Krishna Ganadesh Deepika, and then Stavamala, which includes Utkalika Valerie and Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, and then the books of Astakali Lila, Krishnaiko Komudi by Kavi Karnapur, Govinda Lila Amrita by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, Krishna Bhavan Amrita by Vishnu Chakravarti. These will be the bhajan manuals, how to do bhajan for the Raghunuga Bhakta. And of course, all devotees every day study, read, and worship the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. Every day we read Gita, every day we read Bhagavatam. Like every day we take dal and chapatis. Rice, yes, no, yes. But every day, dal and chapatis. Because grains and beans, when they combine together, they make complete proteins. Grain plus bean equals protein. Complete. The amino acids that are lacking in grains, like wheat, are found in beans. So this is combinations required. So rice and dal, or rotis and dal, or roti rice and dal, is necessary. So the rice and dal is Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Necessary. Every day. In my bed I have three Bhagavad Gitas and one nectar book, all shlokas from here and there for Stavavali and Prarthana like that. So I take the nectar and I take my rice and dal and then I fall asleep. So usually they say you shouldn't sleep after you eat. But if you're eating the Bhagavatam and eating the Gita and eating the Rasa Granth, then you can sleep. It's okay. It's good for health. But if you sleep after you eat, it's not good for health. So this is a special type of eating before sleeping. Because that way, because I know that I have to sleep because I'm a conditioned soul. I'm not liberated. So I have to sleep. So that bed is my niyam. know, the floor, the mat, whatever. We must sleep. So then if something is part of your must list, then you must read Gita. Bhagavatam, I always read every morning, means Bhagavatam. Morning means the sun, and the sun means the Bhagavatam. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakara. Says Krishna Swada Mo Pagate Dharma Genali Bi Saha. That this Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun. Upagate. Upagate means to rise, like the sun. It says when the sages in the Mishranya, they said, oh, now Krishna has left this planet. He came to establish Dharma. Now all irreligious things, Kali Yuga, will come, and they will kill the cow, and they eat the cow, and all nasty, terrible things will happen. So where will we find Krishna? Where will we find Dharma? Where will we find pure religion? And then Sutta Goswami said, Krishna Sada Mo Bhagate Dharma Gyanani Bisaha. And then he said, Krishna Sada Mo Bhagate. And he said, in the Bhagavat Puran, in this Bhagavat Puran, it's like light. He said, Krishna's Upagate. Krishna Swadam. Krishna has gone up. He's risen. He's gone to his own abode. He has gone up. It just says he's gone up. He's risen to his own abode. But he's left behind us the Bhagavat Puran, which is brilliant as the sun. So we start our day every day with the sun. So then we start our day every day with the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavat Amalam Puranam. The sun is pure and pavitram. It purifies. One of the names of the sun is Pavitra. Pavitra is the name for the sun. He's a purifier. Pavitra Jagat. Pavit Jivanam. He purifies the jivas. So with Bhagavatam in the morning and Gita's on your bed, then you'll know you read the Gita every night. So Gita's my nightcap. My nightcap is Gita. My wake up tonic, my wake up drink is the Bhagavatam. And my sleepy tonic, my nightcap is the Gita. It works every time.
What is your favorite, if you would, suppose you only read one part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, what is your favorite part?
Rasa, well, one part comes in five.
Okay.
Rasa Panchadaya. The five chapters of the Rasa dance are the essential, that is the smiling face of Krishna. So nothing's more attractive about a woman than her smiling face. Nothing's more attractive about a man than a smiling face. If she has a beautiful face, an ugly body, it doesn't matter. If a man has a beautiful face, an ugly body, it doesn't matter. Because the face is the index of the heart. Beautiful face means beautiful heart, or at least some beauty. But ugly face means ugly heart, generally speaking. There must be some beauty in the face. Every heart that has some beauty has a beauty in a face. Yeah? No? That's why you see, when you travel around the world, the bodies are so many varieties, but everywhere you can understand the face of a devotee. You can go anywhere and see someone in the airport. The face of a devotee sticks out in a crowd because of the beauty of the heart. He or she turns to Krishna, takes diksha, and then their beauty shines more. So you can't miss a devotee. They stick out. So this is the beauty of Mahaprabhu's face and the beauty of devotees. And so we pray to Lord Gauranga on this appearance day that he'll bless us with a drop of the beauty in his heart. As Gauranga's heart is full of the beauty of Radharani's Mahabhav, Rasaraj Mahabhav. Lord Chaitanya is glorified as Rasaraj Mahabhav. He's not only Mahabhav Radharani, but he's Rasaraj Sri Krishna, because he's Krishna, he's Sakshat Krishna, but he's in the bhav, he's in the effulgence and love of Radharani. He's surrounded with the effulgence, because Radharani's love is known as Ujvala Prem. Radharani's Unat Ujvala. Mahabhav. Unat means uttama, uttama. Unat means it's topmost madness. Unmata. Unmata means unmat. Unmata means, mata means mad. Un means uttam. Unmata, madan. She's completely mad in separation from Krishna. And ujvala, Unmat Ujvala. Ujvala means she, at that time, and Radharani, so when Radharani separated from Krishna and crying in a separation and longing for his association, and it gets to the point of madness where she feels 1 second without him to be like yugas and yugas and yugas. Then Radharani, she has Sudipta Sattvic Vikar. The transformations of her body, her mind, her heart, of course it's all spiritual and transcendental, it's all Mahabhav. But it exhibits the zenith, the topmost zenith of limit, of the Sima, the ultimate level of inconceivable level of extensive love, where she turns a certain color. One of the eight sattvic bhavs is vepatu. Vepatu, it means you change your color. Usually Radharani is kind of golden color, but now she becomes so golden. She becomes so golden. The color of Mahabhav in the madness of Unmad Mahabhav, this Unnata Ujvala Prema, is called Ujvala. Ujvala means extremely brilliant and burning, shining. That's the Mahabhav. And that color is Radharani's bodily color. That's her Kanti. So Mahaprabhu is surrounded with this Ujvala, this Kanti. And that's Radharani. The color of Radharani at the time she's in the peak of Mahabhav is that color of Lord Gauranga. So Lord Gauranga, the color of his complexion, his transcendental form, is Radharani's Mahabhav at the peak, because sometimes Radharani's in Kunkumangi. Daskuswami glorifies Radharani's colors, Kunkumangi. Kunkumangi, that's one of the names in Vilakusamanjali. Kunkumangi means your anga. Your anga, your limbs are reddish, are exhibiting a reddish glow. That's when Radharani's in Anurag. Sneha, Man, Pranaya, Rag, Anurag, Bhav, Mahabhav. So when Radharani's in exhibiting a degree or stage of love called Anurag, then her body turns this color, this Arona. Udila Arona Purabha Bhage Dvijamani Gora Amani Jage Tatai Tatai Bhajaloko Gana Gana Jana Jandera Ro. This bhajan, Bhaktivinoda Thakura. So Udila Arona, that pinkish red at sunrise. Arun, this is Anurag. And that is, so Gauranga sometimes is showing this pinkish color, this Rakta Gaur. When they describe the color of Lord Gauranga, sometimes they say he's Rakta Gaur. Rakta Gaur, his complexion, means reddish gold. There's Nila Gaur, there's Rakta Gaur. Nila Gaur means bluish gold. And then there's Tamra Gaur. Tamra Gaur means like a copper, reddish, copperish red. And then there's, so Kunkumangi, is glorified Kunkumangi Radharani when she's in Anurag. So Lord Chaitanya is called Mahabhav because his Kanti is this Ujvala. That's his color. And then his Bhav is this Mahabhav. So Rasaraj Mahabhav. This is Lord Gauranga. So we'll stop there. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Arbhav Titi Mahotsav Ki Jai. Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Shyam.